By Abramovich?
I'm here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, on a very, very different topic. I didn't prepare anything about the AOC or anything like that. I want to thank Rabbi Schoenfeld for arranging this program and thank everyone for coming. I know it's very difficult on Erev Shavuos to come, but if any holiday really requires proper preparation, it's the holiday of Shavuos. Kabbalah Satorah requires not just 7 weeks, but maybe an entire year to really prepare for this proper day. And even the name of the holiday, the name Shavuos, means weeks. The name of the holiday doesn't really explain what the holiday is about, because the holiday doesn't take place over weeks. It's a couple, one day, maybe 2 days in Chutz Laretz. But you see that the name of the holiday tells us that the preparation, the 7 weeks beforehand, are included. That's how important it is to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. So everyone who's coming today, this afternoon, to help prepare, certainly in the spirit of Shavuos. So I wanted to share with you an idea today that I heard from my Rebbe in Shalavim about 10 years ago. And I've always loved this idea about Shavuos, nice perspective on what it is the Minhagim of Shavuos really speak to. And the idea has taken on new meaning in recent years as I, Baruch Hashem, got married, had a family. And you'll see why having small children is giving me a new perspective on this idea. So Shavuos is known for not having any specific mitzvah in the Torah that we do. You know, Pesach and Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah, we have the matzah, we have the shofar, and we have the lulav, and the sukkah, and the fasting, and the vidui. Most Yamim Tovim have a very specific mitzvah. And Shavuos, as they say, is cheesecake, right? That's what we have. We don't really have a specific mitzvah in the Torah for Shavuos. But there are so many minhagim that are unique to Shavuos, and they're, quite frankly, difficult minhagim. Minhagim that don't seem to fit with the general theme that you would think of the day of Kabbalah Sat Torah. One minhag of Shavuos is the idea of eating dairy, something that we've known most of our lives. Many of us have the minhag to eat dairy for one meal, two meals, over the course of Shavuos. Which is difficult, because there's an idea when it comes to Yantiv, Simchas Yantiv, Ein Simcha El Bebasar. There's an idea that Yamim Tovim have to have a very festive meal, which involves having karbonos, having meat. So where does the idea of having dairy come from? Many different explanations of where it comes from, but hashkafically, what is the message of having dairy on Shavuos? And a second difficult minhag. There is a Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Samech Ches that discusses what is the proper way to celebrate a Yantiv. Should a Yantiv be celebrated in the Beis Medrash, learning, involved in spiritual affairs, or should we eat, drink, and be merry? And the Gemara discusses in Machlokas what exactly is the right balance. Should you be entirely focused on learning? Should you be entirely focused in the kitchen? Or maybe some kind of Chetzi Chetzi, maybe you should split it up. But the Gemara concludes that whatever you hold, everyone agrees on Shavuos, you have to have a festive meal. On Shavuos, you have to go crazy physically. You know why? Because Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah. And obviously, if Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah, we have to eat a lot and minimize the time spent learning. Really? Because it's the day of Matan Torah, that's a reason we should especially engage in physical food? Also a strange minhag. And third, the minhag that unfortunately will not be able to be mekayim in the same way we usually do, the idea of staying up all night learning, for shiurim, charusa learning, people gathering together, we'll do our best, whoever can, to stay up learning a little extra, but as a whole, the minhag is strange. You want to tell me that we're trying to maximize Torah learning. This is Shavuos after all. We want to be mekabel the Torah. So what do? You stay up all night, falling asleep, having to go out for many coffee breaks, and then the next day, sleep it all off. Wouldn't you maximize learning a lot more if you learn till 1:30 in the morning, sleep for 7 hours, daven at the 9:30 teen minion, or whatever, and then the next day you learn all afternoon? Some yeshivas actually have the practice. They've changed it and they said learn till 2 o'clock in the morning, and then daven at 8, and then learn in the afternoon. Is it really so productive to be up learning all night? So these three minhagim that Shavuos has, the idea of eating dairy, the idea of making sure to have a festive meal, and the idea to stay up all night learning, how do we explain them? What exactly is Shavuos all about that these strange minhagim are at play? So Rav Reich explained this beautiful idea that there is a very important image we have to have when thinking about Kabbalah Satorah. See, typically, the most common image we have for Kabbalah Satorah, for Matan Torah, is a wedding. There's many ideas about this. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Emor has an idea where he explains that Matan Torah Har Sinai was a wedding, and the 7 weeks in between, the 7 weeks leading up to it, were like the national version of Shiva Nikiyam, the idea of a Kala preparing 7 days to get pure, to be worthy of getting married. So too, we needed the national version, the 7 weeks, to prepare ourselves, to purify ourselves, to get married. And there's much imagery at a wedding that parallels Har Sinai, the idea of flowers, the idea of torches, when walking down the aisle. Chazal even say that Hashem held the mountain over our head. Some say that was the chuppah. That was the chuppah. The mountain over our head was the chuppah. This imagery of Kabbalah Satorah as a wedding. Chazal say we are married to the Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Morasha can be read as me'orasa. We have erisim. We're married to the Torah. There's a wedding over there. the idea that the luchos may have been our ksuba. Rashi quotes that when Bnei Yisrael made the cheda egel, and Moshe wanted to hide all the evidence that we really cheated on Hashem, Moshe broke the luchos. There's no marriage contract. The luchos were a marriage contract. The idea of Kabbalah Satorah is a wedding. I read that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in his yeshiva in Kol Torah in Yerushalayim, he had a minhag to dance on Shavuos night. After being up all night, the bachurim would dance right before Shacharis. And there was one bachur who was a little too frum, and he said, no, it's asr to dance on Yantiv. There's a Gemara in Beitzah that it's asr, Chazal made a gzera not to dance on Yantiv. So we're makel for Simchas Torah, that the joy of Torah overrides the derabbanan prohibition of dancing on Yantiv. So Shlomo Zalman felt the same thing is true for Shavuos, but one bachur wasn't buying it. So Shlomo Zalman said to him, when you get married, do you want your friends to dance at your wedding? You do, right? This is Hashem's wedding. So let me see you dance. This idea that Matan Torah is a wedding is a very common theme that we've seen before. So despite that great picture I've just presented to you, I want you to scrap that entire picture. I'll give you a new picture. Stop thinking of Matan Torah as a wedding and start thinking of Matan Torah as a birth, as a new baby being born. The idea that Klal Yisrael as a nation, Jewish people, were reborn, new young children, at Kabbalah Satorah, on Shavuos. Yetzias Mitzrayim is our conception as a nation. Hashem took us out to become a nation, our first conception, so then Sfiras HaOmer would be the gestation period, and then Kabbalah Satorah, Matan Torah, would be our actual birth. It's the completion of the process. We're finally born. We're new people. The Gemara in Krisus learns out the halachas of Geirus from Matan Torah. All the components that you need for a conversion, you have to have Mila, you have to have tevila and a mikvah, you have to have Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos and acceptance of mitzvos. Chazal learned all that out from Kabbalah Sal Torah. We became new people. Chazal have an expression, gerishin es gayer kekatan shenol adam. When a person converts, they're a newborn person, they're a baby, they're a brand new person. Kabbalah Sal Torah was our new beginning. Whatever happened before, we were 80 years old, 100 years old, nope, back to zero. Whatever happened before was wiped clean. Our birth begins now. We are now young children. Now usually, to be called a child, to be called a young baby, is an insult. I call this year childish enthusiasm for Torah. Childish has a negative connotation. It's childish, silly, it's immature. But at the same time, and I mentioned before, now that Baruch Hashem, I have children who this week actually turned 2 years old, as they call them the terrific twos. Whoever said terrible twos was absolutely correct.
I froze.
I'm frozen? No, I'm good? The terrific twos, that children, when they're very young, you start to already notice certain tendencies of small children. And while, as a whole, being called a child might be an insult, little children have certain tendencies, certain midos, that really we all should envy. We all should try to be more like children. If Matan Torah, if Kabbalah Satorah, if Shavuos is about being born again, being young children, let's take a look at what little children do, what little children, how they behave, and see if we can adopt some of those menhagim for ourselves. Children are always very excited. A new toy, going to a new place. They're not embarrassed to jump up and down, clap their hands, just squeal. They don't play it cool. They run over and they're obsessed with whatever it is. A new toy, a new game, a new place, a new show, a new song. They could hear it again and again and again. They perseverate. The song is over. When my kids hear a song and it's over, the first word is, more, more, more. And it's the same song. I just sang the song. Often I'll give my kids a little ride, and I'll immediately regret it. More? More? Like, my back is hurt. I don't want to do this 100 times. I didn't realize you were going to ask for it 100 times. They could never get sick of something. If it's enjoyable, if it's delicious, if it's fun, I want it again, and again, and again, and again. It's like sickening for adults. We feel so uncomfortable because we can't appreciate that. But you gotta admire the way that a kid gets so excited, the way the kid gets so obsessed with something, and they can't put it down. They just all over. And even when they have this idea of perseverating on something good, they have this amazing knack to just brush off something negative. Kid falls down, if you don't look, they get back up again and keep on walking. You make a big deal, are you okay? Oh, boo-boo, it hurts. You look away, they get back up again and keep on running. Right? They get knocked down, they go right back up again. They're so easily, they let things wash over them. The good they perseverate on, and whatever is negative going on, whatever is painful, they just brush right past it. They don't dwell on anything negative. Another amazing mitzvah of children is that children are always willing to listen. You know, obviously this stops when it comes. Can we mute participants?
Is he short?
Who has the option to mute everybody?
Maybe something for you.
Rabbi Schoenfeld, can you mute everybody?
If you're not careful taking that off and you're touching that again,
wait. There's an option to mute everybody.
Rabbi,
if you go to participants.
Please, everyone, put yourself on mute.
Put yourself on mute because I'm going to hear about your issues.
If you go to participants, Rabbi Schoenfeld, you can mute everybody.
Let me just try because I'm not sure if I'm the host. Let me hang on a second. I'm into participants, but I guess I got to minimize you first.
There's an option to mute.
Okay, it's quiet. I think everybody okay. Muted themselves.
So children have this amazing ability to listen, right? You can't really always mute them, like we just talked about. But children are always willing to listen, right? They know they don't know everything. Obviously, when they become teenagers, this goes away. But when kids are little, they recognize they have a lot to learn. You're telling a story? I want to hear. I want to hear the story. I have a lot to learn. So engaged. They're so willing to be macabre. They're so willing to listen to what someone else has to say. And these are all amazing qualities that adults will be lucky to maintain as they get older. And these are all important qualities, not only for Kabbalah Torah, but really living a Torah lifestyle. To be excited, to learn, to obsess over the Torah, to learn the same thing over and over again, to not be able to put it down, to have that childlike enthusiasm, that childlike energy. The Gemara in Shabbos on Peches, when it talks about Kabbalah Torah, Gemara says that Rava was learning, and he was sitting on his finger, and he didn't realize he was bleeding. He was so engrossed, like a child who's watching a show, watching an activity, and they have to go to the bathroom, they have to eat. No, they're totally engrossed. They have no idea what's going on. They're completely engrossed in whatever is occupying their attention. That they could be hit by a bus and not even notice. They're completely engaged. Rava was bleeding, had no idea. That's not Sabanishma. This idea of, I got to do it, I got to have it. I don't care what else is going on around me. I don't need to ask any questions. I'm totally, completely engaged. Child doesn't think about the pros and the cons. Let me think. I wonder if this is a good decision. Candy, toys, a shiny Muppet. I gotta have it. I gotta run right toward it. There's no stopping to think. That's not Seven Ishma. Klal Yisrael in the desert were a bunch of babies, a bunch of children, born again, brand new, so excited for the Torah, to have that attitude. I read a story that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, when he was along with the Mir Yeshiva, they were relocating from Poland to Asia, to Japan, and then to Shanghai. They were on a boat, and they were traveling. And as the yeshiva, he was a mashgiach already, a magid shir in the yeshiva, at a very young age. And as they passed the gigantic glacier, all the Talmidim, they closed their svarim, they went to the side of the boat to look at the amazing glacier. Except for one person. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was sitting there, engrossed in his Gemara, completely oblivious to the glacier. And the Talmidim went over, and they said, Rebbe, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a glacier over here. And he said, uh-huh. And I said, look, learning is always important to us, but this might be the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see a glacier. You can learn any other day. He said, you're wrong. Not any other day. This is my only opportunity to learn when I could be looking at a glacier. That was his avos haTorah. That was his excitement for learning. He could be learning so engrossed and not notice anything else going around him. We can be like children. We could not get bogged down when things are difficult, to let things wash over us, just to move on and go back to focusing on something good. And the idea of listening, the idea of little children being so willing to be makabel, to be makabel the Torah, the idea of, we don't know anything, and we're happy to learn. And because that's how we were on Shavuos, we were young children, we were little babies, brand new, born again, we were like Gerim, we were like brand new people who didn't know anything and were so excited to learn everything, like a Baal Tshuva, someone who doesn't have the background that many of us were zochet to have. But they're so on fire. I don't know much, but whatever it is, I gotta learn it. I gotta have it. And this is what the energy we're trying to recreate every year on Shavuos. That sense of hischadshus, that sense of newness, the sense of born again, a young child's excitement for Torah. We started off by noting the strange minhagim that we have on Shavuos. We can explain all of them, they're all toward this same theme, this idea of having this tremendous passion, this love, this childlike enthusiasm for Torah. We asked why we eat dairy. You know who eats dairy? Babies eat dairy. Think of dairy, think of a person eating a big steak, it's not baby food. Maybe chicken nuggets is like the closest you get for like the fleshed version for kids' food. Mac and cheese and a real baby, a bottle. Milk, dairy, it's obviously kid food. Shavuos is about being babies. We're young children again. We're going to have dairy. We're going to have our bottles. And we ask why we have to have lechem. On Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah, that's the day we have to have a physical party? Yeah, for a little kid, how do you get a kid to pay attention? You got to give him treats. You got to give him snacks. If we're going to find Torah enjoyable, if we're going to be involved in Torah, we have to have physical snacks. We have to incorporate lechem. We have to incorporate our personal enjoyment. Torah has to be physically enjoyable. We have to actually appreciate Torah like a child appreciates something, associating it with toys. And we ask the question of why are we staying up all night? It's not productive for maximizing number of hours learning. You're right. Who's talking about being productive? when I was in high school, the last Harry Potter book came out. I didn't stop and think, you know, I probably can maximize the number of pages read if I go to sleep right now. No! The new Harry Potter book came out, I'm reading it all night. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I couldn't put it down. Was it productive? Probably not. Was the next day productive? Definitely not. But that's the child. I wasn't 2 years old, but still. But that's the enthusiasm. That's what a child feels. And on Shavuos, that's how we feel about the Torah. I can't put it down. I'm going to be up all night. I can't possibly turn away. I can't close my sefer. I'm a young child. I'm going to learn until I fall asleep over my Gemara. I'm going to learn until I can't physically stay up any longer. Until I'm reading under the covers, my parent comes in and tells me, you have to go to sleep. And I say, okay. And then I don't until I fall asleep on my own. They say about the Chazon Ish that he had such an amazing passion for Torah that he would learn literally until he actually collapsed. He had it in his study, he had a little bed on the side, and he had a few feet away, he had his desk where he was studying. And he would try to time it perfectly. He would try to learn until he felt he had just enough koach to make it from the table 3 feet to the bed. And a couple of times, he miscalculated. He learned 1 second too long and crashed. He ended up not making it all the way to his bed. He fell asleep on the floor halfway in between. He tried to time it. He couldn't possibly put the Gemara down. He had to learn until sleep overwhelmed him. They say also about the Chazon Ish that one time his family, they bought him a pillow, which for him and his status was a very big luxury. And they found him sleeping every so often with the pillow under his feet. And they said to him, you know, like Abba, like, or Tati, whatever, he didn't have any children. So his Talmidim, they said to him, you know, it's not meant for under your legs, meant for under your head. And he said, if by the time I'm going to sleep, I could tell where my head is, where my feet are, I'm not tired enough to go to sleep. That was his passion. That was his excitement for learning. That was his enthusiasm that he can't put it down to learn all night. Rav Reish explained that this could be the famous song that Shlomo Karlbach possibly stole from David HaMelech. Lulei Sarascha Shashuai. Torah is my shashuai, my plaything, my toy. Torah is my shashuai. If Torah wasn't my shashuai, az avadati ba'ani. When a child doesn't have his toy, he's miserable. Nothing could cheer him up. He wants that toy. If Torah wasn't my plaything, my shashuai, I'd fall apart. I have to have the Torah. I can't put it down. I got to be up all night. This image, the Torah is for the young children, the idea of dairy, the idea of having a physical party, a Shabbos party, if you will, the idea of making sure that we're enthusiastic, we're makabel the Torah with that great enthusiasm, is a very powerful idea on Shavuos. And it's even perfectly illustrated by the idea when the Torah was given and we brought the Luchos into the Aron Kodesh, on top of the Aron Kodesh were Kruvim. What do Chazal say the Kruvim looked like? Babies! The Torah was housed in a crib with babies! That same imagery, that same idea about the passion, the excitement that children have, that we can absolutely incorporate for Kabbalah Satorah. And so, I have two takeaways I would like to share. Number one is about using the Minhagim of Shavuos to our advantage, to increase our Ahavas Satorah, to realize when we're eating dairy, to have the imagery of, not a wedding, an imagery of, we're young children, we're having bottles, we're like this young, newborn, brand new, I've never seen this before, or I have and I still want to see it again and again and again. That never putting it down enthusiasm makes me want to be up all night, to have a Shabbos party, to eat and snack, and to stay up as long as we can, to have that excitement. And the second takeaway I'd like to add, to end off with, is the idea of davening. There's one thing a child knows how to do, it's how to ask for something. And when I say ask for something, I mean nudge. And when I say nudge, I mean drive you absolutely crazy until they get it. They don't ask, you know, Abba, it'd be nice if I could have a snack, pretty please. It's Abba, 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 Abba. When they want something, they get it. They ask, and they ask. When we daven, if we really felt that passion for Torah, we have to daven for it. We have to acknowledge there's a need for Siyata Dishmaya to be able to accomplish in Torah. Chazal note that there's 48 Kinyani Torah, 48 things we have to acquire on the way to becoming Talmidei Chachamim. And people point out, it's perfect. There's 49 days of Sfira and 48 Kinyanim Torah, perfect. Every day of Sfira, we'll work on one of them. The math works out almost perfectly. But the math works out almost perfectly. Wait a second, 48 Kinyani Torah? What are you supposed to work on the last day? So some Bali Musar explained that we only could do 48 out of the 49 steps. The last step is to acknowledge we need Siyata Dishmaya. You have to daven. At the end of Nida says you have to have both. You have to have both learning and also Siyata Dishmaya. You have to daven. You have to ask Hashem for help, like a child, to keep asking and asking and asking and beg until you get what you want, to have that drive for Torah. Every day in Berachas HaTorah we daven Tarevna, make it sweet, make it a candy, make it delicious. We ask Hashem every single day, but perhaps it's more auspicious to daven. We daven for ourselves, daven for our children, daven for our grandchildren, to have this passion for Torah, for a Torah lifestyle, for Limud HaTorah, to be able to proliferate Torah. We want that for ourselves, we want it for our families, we want it for our children, and perhaps Shavuos, Yantif coming up in just a couple of hours is perhaps the perfect time to inculcate within ourselves these values of children, this excitement for Torah, and to daven to Hashem, to beg like a little child for something that we desperately, desperately need. And perhaps Shavuos is the perfect time to capitalize on the opportunity to ask Hashem to help us renew ourselves, to mekabel the Torah again like little children, and to be zochem for a true Kabbalah of the Torah. I want to thank you all very much for coming today.
Thank you very much.